It's a month. A month where the mowers rattle on suburban nature strips and we smell the cut grass.
Yeah, my name's Jack Charles, and I'm a self-proclaimed elder of the Boonwurrung people in Melbourne. And here I am about to step foot into the Middleton prison attached to the old Loddon prison from whence I last left a little over 10 years ago, 11 maybe.
Well, what specifically were you in for on that very last visit?
You know, cat burgling, you know, stealing from large mansion around Melbourne. I came in as a thief, yes.
And yet since then, you know, you've long been clean, and it's been a big ambition of yours to come back into prison. Yes. Why?
I had that inherent obligation as a self-proclaimed elder of the Boonwurrung people in Melbourne to share the journey, showcase myself that there is a life beyond drugs, crime time, jail time and etc., mental disability and that. I have to show by example the way to go forward on this. They're real blackfellas. Oughtn't to be shooting up white powder into their veins because we start to abuse our Aboriginality ourselves and etc., our community, our friends, our mothers and fathers. Basically, our concept of Aboriginality. And that if we took, you know, as I've taken my Aboriginality seriously enough, that I should be a key player in trying to save other lives and get them to start thinking about their own lives and that. I can work on people individually, and it's worked so far. It's only on the street. I've conned them using my fine art of conmanship to jump onto the methadone. Really take yourself seriously. If you're going to jump on the methadone, be a real blackfella. Don't dabble. You'll be more powerful if you can determine your own way of jumping off the methadone. And once you start on this track, you'll finally sometimes forget that it's your time to go in to get your dose. Of course, you have to have other things to distract you, to make yourself, you know, keep yourself busy, your mind, you know, actively involved in community or looking after somebody. You know, my first waking thought when I left this place and I became a player in my own community, going up against my would-be, could-be gangster cousin dealers and that, was what am I going to do in the community today? Who do I have to see?
Now, we're standing out the front of Loddon Prison. I'm not able to go inside the prison with you today. I don't know what it's like on the other side of this wall or any prison walls, but what I can imagine as we've seen individuals walk past us today, you know, these are people who have done some wrong and maybe also have a sort of fractured sense of identity. So what is it you think that you can impart to them? Is it about sort of planting a seed of thought before they leave prison, that actually there is this great alternative?
That's the idea. Is there was a program here run by Auntie Lorraine Peters and her daughter called the Murrumbahle Program. And it was the program that actually tweaked my consciences of my Indigenousness, how I should take myself more seriously. So undertaking that was the most important part of doing my jail time. It was the program that awoke me to the full sense of why I shouldn't be in jail, why I should take my Indigenousness more seriously. You know, the fact that I could be a key player in this, doing what Auntie Lorraine Peters did.
There has been a long-standing criticism that there's not been culturally appropriate rehabilitation programs for Indigenous prisoners. Can it be in a situation as simple sometimes as having someone of an Indigenous background who has lived experience and can just talk one-to-one with these people?
Yes. I think that's the way to go about it. You know, if I can start the ball rolling with myself and harnessed with the wellbeing officers that run the programs here. And I was always wanting to do something, but confounded all the time of being left out of the loop. You just continue on your merry way, making the wrong choices and etc.
Well, we do see high rates of recidivism with Indigenous offenders. I mean, why do you, as somebody who's been through that experience, why do you think that is?
Because there's basically no community centre for us to come out towards. You know, in Horsham, in Shepherd and Maroopna, in Echuca, when we go back to our places, all the notions of having an Indigenous community centre are most likely seen to be abandoned because of the corruption that went on when we did have them. And it never worked because if you've got corrupted people running the organisation, nepotist families and that, embezzling the money out of these organisations, nothing can be done. The point is, I have to show by example the way to go forward on this.
Do you think there is something that can only be communicated by somebody who has been through the prison system to existing prison?
Get an intimation by somebody who's really serious about wanting to change the course of people's lives. That's what the well-being people are here for. But they can only do so much. But if you had somebody with lived experiences such as myself, and there would be others, but they've got to come out of the woodwork. I have to showcase, do it myself, so that others can come out of the woodwork and raise their hands. And there's very few that would do this, to have the gumption, to go back into prisons, insist that the prison system needs me to come back. And obviously, the penny has dropped. The prison system has seen and remembered what I did when I was a prisoner doing time. I was the head potter at the Wanneron prison in the Castlemaine jail. I ran a tight ship. You weren't allowed into Psycho Ceramica. That's what I call my pottery shops in the neck. You weren't allowed in Psycho Ceramica if you were Rohypnol and Serapaxed off your tits. So the point was, I had to show by example it was a place of sanctuary within a prison setting.
Well, it has been a very long road, about 10 years to get back inside a prison. I mean, how are you feeling right now as you're about to walk through those doors over there?
It's a wonder I can fit through the doors. You know, I'm pumped up, and it's really exciting because I know it just may influence their own journey.
What are you going to tell them?
I don't know what I'm going to tell them. I'm dying to see what kind of questions prisoners will ask of me.
Do you reckon we could have a chat when you come out the other side?
Of course we can. Yes. Not a problem, all right?
Anglican Church in Australia, Archbishop Philip Freer, has welcomed a proposed plebiscite on same-sex marriage.
This dreaming has been long-held dreaming of mine, is that we would have the Linda Bayer workshop in Collingwood Fitzroy for you to come to and do something. All the cottage industries, things that you've been doing here, studying, you can complete the Linda Bayer workshop. We'd have computers and things like this. You know, CBOs can be done. Community-based orders can be done in this. Parole people could be, you know, assured that this is the place to send people if they're coming into Melbourne with nothing to do in their lives, and both black and white. It's only a dreaming, it's a wet dream, unfulfilled as yet. But, you know, if you put it out long enough, it might happen. Jeremy, here I am, back out there. what a show. I believe that both of us impressed each other, the prisoners, with their absolutely concentrating, hanging on by each and every word, because this has never happened before. Somebody that they know very well, that they've done time with, shared jail time with, but they know the journey, they know the story.
Mm. Who were you speaking to in there?
A bunch, a wide variety of prisoners, and many of Aboriginal. So the Q&A, they were a little bit, you know, one person did ask a question when he thought, you know, well, if nobody's asking, well, I'll ask a question on that.
What did he ask?
What's it like coming back? You know, how does it feel and that? Well, it's the end game of a long journey of pushing the bars to try and get me back in. And now here I am back. I observed that these people were really hungry and really onside and listening.
You're currently the voice of the AFL Finals series being heard. One of the voices being heard by literally millions of Australians around the country. But for so long, the people on the other side of this wall were the voices you couldn't get access to. You couldn't speak to. So what did it mean for you to be sitting there as a role model and as a mentor to these young men?
You don't know where it's going to go, but at least, you know, I've set the bar now. I've made the first move. I've come in and let's see where we go from here. Let's see where they go from here. Who knows? There might be one amongst that mob or a couple of them that might have the urge to take the system by working on themselves in order to undertake what I've just done. You know, so yes, it was great, also being the first time back in the neck. So that was a highly emotional experience.